out of a 6-week series called Family Circuits. And if you missed any of that, you can go back and look online. We've got that on the Church Center app, or you can go to YouTube and you can check those messages out. We'd love for you to see that, just messages about how we navigate the family circus, right? The everyday chaos sometimes that we're living in. But for the next couple weeks, we're going into a new series of messages, and I'm calling this series Already. And that's where we're heading for the next 2 weeks. Now, any of you guys, you order anything off of Amazon? Okay. All right. So you have stuff delivered. You understand how that works. If you've ever ordered anything and it's supposed to be delivered and you're waiting on it expectantly to have it delivered, and then you get the notification that says, hey, it's been delivered. And you're like, man, that's awesome. And you go outside on your front porch and you look and you don't see your package. And you're like, oh, man, I am the victim of a porch pirate. Somebody has scurried off with my package, right? Somebody has gotten my stuff, right? And it's just like in that moment, you're kind of frantic. You're looking around and you're looking in the bushes, you know, you're looking behind stuff. You're actually, anybody ever walk over to the neighbor's house and just casually kind of look at, you know, it's like, anything on their porch that looks like my package, right? You know, and you check in the community page. Anybody taking pictures of the box that you're looking for, and you know, and so I've had this happen just a little while back where I had gotten that notification that this had been delivered, and I walked out there and there's nothing there, and that's immediately what I begin to think, that I am the victim of robbery. I have been robbed. A porch pirate has come up on my porch and taken my stuff. And it's just like, man, I was so mad. I was so angry at that moment. And, you know, I'm going around. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what do I do next? And what I didn't realize was that I had left the garage door open. And so I had walked around to the garage door, and there's the package sitting inside the garage, not on my porch, right? And just like in that moment, like, I was not the victim of robbery. That whole time, this package was here. In that moment, it hit me. I had not been robbed. Actually, I had been robbed, but the thief wasn't who I thought it was. The thief was my own unawareness in that moment. Anybody, you been there, right? You've been robbed by your own unawareness. And so today, that's what I want us to talk a little bit about, is this idea that, you know, that God really has already delivered what we need. That God has already delivered what we need, and maybe we just haven't opened it, right? Because maybe we're looking on the porch and it's in the garage, or maybe we're looking in the garage and it's on the porch, and maybe we're just not aware. So the question I have this morning is this: what if the real thief is our inability to recognize what God has already provided? How many prayers have you prayed? God, give me this, and God, send me this, and God, will you do this for me, and God, I need you to show up here, and God, will you please just step into this situation, right? And we pray all these prayers with good intentions, and the reason I'm talking about this is because I do this, right? I've done this, but what I read and what I find most of the time is that God is already speaking. He's like, man, I've already sent you the answer. I've already given you the gift. I've already stepped in with breakthrough. I've already stepped in with what you need. I just need you to open it. I just need you to recognize it. I just need you to go from the porch to the garage. Right? I need you to go from the garage to the porch. I just need you to look for where I've set it in your life. And so this morning, that's what I want us to do. I want us to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we're headed this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read this. They're going to put it on the screen, but I'm going to read this here out of my Bible. And I love this passage. I have had this passage probably underlined and highlighted in my Bible for just years and years, probably since I was a college student and really started studying the Bible intently, because this is one that kind of, it was one of those light bulb moments. Anybody just, when you're reading and you just kind of get one of those light bulb moments, like, whoa, it kind of hits you. It's kind of a Cosmo Kramer kind of, whoa, right? And so I had that kind of moment when I read this. So I want us to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. And it says, His divine power, not your divine power, His divine power has granted to us or given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Do you believe that? Do you pray like that? Do you? Okay, right? So, because sometimes I have it. And it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and great, very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this reason, right? He says, listen, as a result of this, as a result of God giving us everything that we need for this life, He says, for this reason, make every effort. Now, when that says make every effort, who's He wanting to make the effort? Us, not God. God's already done His part. Now, He's asking us to do our part. He says, make every effort. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted, that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So this is where I want us to start, that when we start here in this moment and we read this, that for his divine power has granted to us, or his divine power has given to us, what we're seeing is this. This means you're not waiting on God to do more. You're being invited to see what God has already done. Do you see that? You're not actually waiting, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm just waiting on you, God, to show up in my life. Waiting on you, God, to do something really cool for me. God's like, I already did something cool for you. I already showed up in your life. I want you to open up your eyes and see this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we see this. So Peter talks about this, but Paul also echoes this. And this is what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Right? Blessed means that's a past tense, right? Which means it's already happened. He says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. This word bless, it is a, if, now I know we're reading here in the New Testament, and the New Testament was written in Greek, but I want you to understand that these guys are writing in Greek, but they're thinking in Hebrew, okay? I need you to understand that. So if we go back and we look at Hebrew thought, and we look at this word bless, it is the word barak, and it means this, it is to empower for success, right? And so when he says that we have been blessed, that means that we have been empowered for what? Success. Anybody, you like that? You like to be successful, right? Right? And so we've been empowered for success. It's not just a good wish. It's a blessing. A blessing is something that is conferred with authority, right? God confers on us with the authority that He has. It is not just a hope. It says, well, I hope this happens to you. No, I am blessing you with this because I am putting my stamp of approval and my authority on this. And so Paul, a Jew, this is what he's doing. He is declaring that believers already walk in empowerment. Right? That's what he's saying. He said, hey, you already walk in this. You've been blessed with this, with every spiritual blessing. God has blessed you. So it's like this. How many of you guys, you get gift cards for birthdays and Christmas and all that kind of stuff? Maybe you get like gift cards to like Dairy Queen, right? Or maybe Subway or Starbucks or someplace like that. And maybe you stick them in your car. And you know what? You just forget about them. Or maybe you put them in your wallet and you just forget that it's there. And then you're going around and you're paying for all this stuff when you have the power already in your wallet to know that's already been paid for, right? That is like us walking around as believers trying to earn this stuff. That is like us as believers saying, oh, dear God, I wish you would just show up in my life. He's like, I have. I want you to open your eyes. I want you to open your wallet. I want you to see the gift card that I've already placed in your hand, and I want you to use it, because this is how, and this, and if I get keyed up, because as a pastor, I see this happen a lot, that we walk around dour, and we walk around, oh, I'm just making it through, Pastor. I'm just making it. It's like, come on, man. Jesus died for you and was resurrected for you, and you have resurrection power. We need to live like that and talk like that and walk like that. And so for us, it's more than just us hoping for something in the sweet by and by. One day when I get to heaven. No, what his word says is this. It says we've already been empowered with this. He is already breaking into our life and giving us what we need here. And so we think about this. We have these gift cards that we're not using, right? Peter and Paul are saying the same things. And Peter isn't saying, so much that this is a checklist to complete, right? So when we read this part in Peter, he says, add this to this and add this. Make every effort to add this stuff. He's not saying this is a checklist to be completed. I don't want you to think that's what he's saying. This is what he's saying. He's saying, rather, this is a description of spiritual maturity. This is the natural trajectory. This is the natural progression of what happens when you have Jesus in your life. When you are in relationship with Jesus, this is spiritual maturity, and it naturally unfolds as we actively cooperate with what God has already provided. That's what he's saying. Right? This is what this looks like. When you cooperate with what God has already provided, you're going to see this stuff happen. You're going to see the godliness show up. You're going to see this fruit begin to be growing in your life. Right? If we go read in Galatians and we read the fruit of the Spirit, right? And we say, well, I'm really trying for those. No. When you're in relationship with who the God of the universe is, this is the natural outflow of that relationship, that it looks like joy, it looks like peace, it looks like patience, it looks like self-control. That is the natural flow. You're not having to try to psych yourself up to gin it up to manifest it. Right? This is the natural outflow of your relationship with your Father. So this is it. I want you to get this. Faith doesn't make things exist. It helps you see what's already there. You get that? Your faith isn't trying to say, oh, come on, if I just had more faith. That's why we do that. I just wish I had more faith. I wish I prayed better prayers. No, guys, that is, we're living backwards. We're living like we've got gift cards and we're not using them. It's this thing of saying, no, my faith helps me see what God has done, what God has placed in my hands, what God has already said who I am, right? Not who I'm just going to become one day somewhere after I die and I get to heaven. No, he says this is what happens now. It goes ahead and it begins to break in now. So faith doesn't make things exist. It helps you see what's already there. He goes on, and we read this in 2 Peter down in verse 5, where he says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, right? And this list of things, this chain of virtue, as what it's been called, this chain of basically these things that we want in our life and we need in our life. What Peter wants us to see is this. It's a dynamic relationship between God's provision and our participation. Do you get that? God is the provider. We are the participator. That means that you have to participate in what God wants to do in your life. And if you don't participate, God, it's just like putting that gift card in your truck and just riding around with it. You actually have to participate and use it. We have to participate in this life with what God has already given us. He's addressing attention. And he's addressing the tension between divine grace and human responsibility, right? And sometimes we can just say, all right, God, you're just going to give it to me. And there's we just sit down and we do nothing as Christians. We live sometimes like, you know, we're just waiting on something to happen. And God's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get up. Live the life I've called you to live. Participate in what I put in your hand, right? So God provides everything that we need, but we must make, like it said, we must make every effort to develop these qualities, right? We have to participate with what I already put in us. All right, God, you know what? You put patience inside of me. You put love inside of me. I want to help cultivate that. I want to help water that. I want to help just provide, you know, a great environment for this stuff to flourish in my life. Because I can plant other seeds. Seeds that are weeds. I can have something else planted in my life that's going to choke out the love, and it's going to choke out the peace, and it's going to choke out the patience, right? How many of you, your patience is choked out every time you get in traffic, right? Come on. So we plant other stuff sometimes that we need to weed out, and saying, nah, God's already planted something else inside of me that I want to cultivate. I want to cultivate that peace. I want to cultivate that patience. I want to cultivate that kindness and that godliness and the self-control. I want to pour water on that and help it become cultivated where it grows and nourishes. See, this is neither passive waiting nor self-reliant striving. We think sometimes we get in both, and it's just kind of like, I'm just sitting here waiting on Jesus, you know, or we're like working frantically. Oh, God, I'm trying to work my way into your good graces. I'm trying to work my way into your love. I'm trying to, God, I want you to love me more today. And we're just like white-knuckled holding on to everything that we can because we think that we haven't earned God's love enough. Right? And this is that tension that we live in. It's like this passive waiting or self-reliant striving. But what this is active cooperation with divine grace. It's active cooperation. God, you've already worked. Jesus said it is what? Finished. He says it is finished. I have come and I have done the work that I needed to do. I have come and I have done this work and I'm giving you what I need to give you. The Holy Spirit is present. He said the Father is going to send the Spirit, right? And that's what we talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about Pentecost and this idea of, hey, what does the Spirit mean for us? The Spirit means that we can take what God has given us and we can become the people that He intends for us to be because we're actively cooperating with divine grace. We're actively cooperating with what God wants to do in our life. It's like this. It's like, have any of you guys ever been just sitting around your house? And I've got two boys, and me and my son Kobe were sitting at the house the other night. And it was like, oh man, I'm so hungry, you know. Oh man, I wish we had something to eat. You know, it's like, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? There's nothing to eat here, right? It's like, oh man, I guess we probably need to go down to Arby's. And we did. And I get back and I realized that there are things that Raina had already cooked that are sitting in the refrigerator, right? And I would have eaten that. But all I had to do was open it up and peel back the tinfoil and see there's goodness in that refrigerator, right? And all I need to do is participate with what's already been provided. That's us, guys. That's us. Spiritually, God's already provided that. He's already filled the pantry. He's already filled the refrigerator. And we've got to actively participate with what He's done in our life and what He's already placed there. See, you don't grow by earning more. You don't grow by earning more. You grow by stewarding what's already there. That's how you grow. You steward what God has already given you. Right? And we go on. Another scripture I want to give you. This is Romans. You might know this one. You might can even quote this. Romans 8:37. It says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." There's a Greek word here. Anybody ever wear Nikes? You got Nikes, right? Anybody ever had Nikes, right? You might say, I'm not wearing Nikes anymore. Okay, I'm trying to get all that. But if you've ever owned a pair of Nikes, Nike means victory. Right? And that's what this word means. It's kind of a combination word in the Greek. It's hyper-nikeo. Hyper-nikeo. And what it means, it's more than victory. That's what this means. It's more than a conqueror. It's more than just winning. It is winning overwhelmingly. It is winning where you've just left everybody else in the dust. That's what this word means. It just doesn't mean to win. It means you win overwhelmingly. You win in such a way that the battle can't undo your belonging or your acceptance. That's what that means. When you look at that word, that's what that means. It means winning overwhelmingly. So when we get back to 2 Peter and this passage that we read all the way from verse 3 to verse 9. And we get to this point in verse 9 where it says, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Yeah, man, this happens. This is probably one of the most irritating things about, you know, being a pastor and trying to shepherd people, is sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we forget what God's done for us. And I'm always wanting to, I don't want to try to remind people in an angry way. I want to try to remind them in an encouraging way. Hey, man, don't forget who you are. Don't forget what God's done. Don't forget what God's word says. Don't forget what truth God has laid in our life. And so Peter, he's saying this. He's saying we become spiritually nearsighted. Now, I know what it means to be nearsighted. I'm blind as a bat, guys. If I took these reading glasses off, because I have another layer of lenses on my eyeballs called contacts, and if I took that off, y'all would be blurry. I mean, just I would be walking into stuff, and like I'm dangerous when I don't have my glasses or my contacts. And I understand nearsightedness. I understand that because we live this way spiritually sometimes, where it's like it's there, but it's fuzzy, and I can't really make it out. And there, I don't know that I really have clarity on this. And what Paul and what Peter are trying to do is give us clarity on this. And they're saying, hey, don't forget who you are, and don't become spiritually nearsighted. We forget that we've already been forgiven. We forget that we've already been empowered. We forget who we already are. These are things that we forget, or things that we, you know, we just fail to see. We become nearsighted. Or we can say it this way, not just spiritually nearsighted, we can obtain spiritual amnesia, which will make you feel defeated in a battle that's already been won. Man, how ironic is that? Think about that. Think about a battle that somebody has won, and then they sit down and they act like they lost. Who does that? We do that. Us, we do that because we forget, or we don't see it. We become nearsighted, and this is what Peter's saying. He's like, they're forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. One thing, I remember this story that my mother-in-law, we call her Mo. Her name's Marcia, and she has a twin sister called Martha. So sometimes you may see my mother-in-law here, Marcia, and if you go to the mall, you may see Martha, and you may go up to my mother-in-law and say, hey, we met at church. I'm your Pastor Ryan. And was like, oh, no, I'm Martha, right? That may happen. And so I love watching the dynamic between Martha and Marcia, right? Because they're just, yesterday we were at a birthday party for Raina's granddad, and they were like buzzing little bees, just all over the kitchen, right? And they talk on the phone all the time. They were telling a story one day that Martha and Marcia were on the phone with each other. And I think it was Martha was like, oh my goodness, Marcia, I don't know what I've done with my phone. I've laid my phone down and I don't know where. She's like, Martha, you're talking to me on your phone, right? And we laugh, right? And I think that's funny, but that's us, guys. That's us. We're talking on the very thing, and we're talking about the very thing. Sometimes we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten what God has done. So you're not trying to become victorious. You've got to remember you already are victorious. You're not trying to become victorious. I'm just trying to make it, right? I'm just trying to make it to the end, to the sweet by. No, 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 man. You already are victorious. We got to walk like it. We've got to act like that. We've got to encourage each other like that, right? That's what I want us to do. And so I'm going to ask somebody to come play. And this morning, as we wrap this up, you know, I want you to think about, just ask yourself that question. Where am I spiritually nearsighted? Where do I have the tendency to forget that God has already worked for me? Right? When do I have a tendency to forget who Jesus has created me to be? Where do I have a tendency to forget that the Spirit lives inside of me? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. I don't know if y'all have seen this song. This is a song that I sing. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me. The same Spirit. And where do you have a tendency to forget that that same Spirit lives in you, to empower you to walk in victory, not to strive for it, feel like you're grasping for it. No. To remember, no, Jesus, this is what you've done in my life. This is who you've made me to be. This is what your word says. This is true, and I've got to believe this. See, so many times we believe the lies. We believe the lies of the enemy. Ah, you're this and you're this, right? And we forget that who we are. He says, you don't have this, and you don't have the power to do this, and you're not going to be able to get over this, all the while forgetting that we've got that divine gift card riding around in our truck, hiding in our wallet. It's like, man, if I just pull it out and see, I've already been gifted with this. Right? And some of us, we beat ourselves up. I want you to stand with me this morning. What is it that you're beating yourself up about? What is it that you're struggling to kind of wrap your mind around? See, there's not really anything that I'm asking from you today. This is more kind of a rhetorical question to you. Hey, where do you need to open the box that's been sitting there and you thought somebody robbed you of it? It's been there the whole time. Where do you need to peel back the layers? Around here at New Life, we talk about discover, connect, share. Discovering who God is, or maybe rediscovering who God is, and discovering who God has made us to be. Right? Maybe peeling back the layers and opening the box is discovering who God has created you to be. It's like, man, I've missed this. It was here the whole time. Right? God has placed this in me, and man, I didn't realize it. I missed it. And what I love is to see people when the light bulb goes off. It's like, oh, yes. And you see them begin to make these strides. Not because they're striving for something. It's because they're already realizing of what God's done in their life. So what is that for you? What is that for you? What box do you need to open? What discovery do you need to make? What reminder do you need of who you are? Because the enemy has been trying to lie to you and say, you're not that. You're not that. God doesn't love you. You're not his child. You're not saved. You're not going to get over this addiction. You're not going to get over this hurt. You're not going to get over this pain. This thing is going to be with you. You're never going to be. You're always going to be broken. No. Jesus has already gone to the cross. He's already sent us his Spirit. He's doing a work in us to make all things. You know what all things includes? You and me and Kate and Lonzie and Cannon, right? It all includes every one of us. I'm making all things. All things. Everybody who would come to me, who would step into this truth and believe this, all things. I want you to bow your head this morning. So, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Sometimes we think we don't have enough. Sometimes we think that we're not enough. Sometimes we think, Lord, that there's more we just have to strive for and beg for and plead for. But your word says your divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. So Holy Spirit, speak that truth to us now. Holy Spirit, remind us of who we are. Remind us of who you are. Remind us of your word to us. Remind us of your gifts to us. Remind us of already how you've started working breakthrough in our life, and that you are invading this space and invading our homes and our marriages and our parenting. Lord, we welcome this, and we invite you to come and just remind us of this work that you started, because you'll bring it to completion, I know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.